present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello, and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with a clipping from the Liverpool Daily Post, read by Charlotte Green.
A 25-stone rugby fan was told he had to book two seats on a plane because of his size, only to find that they were on opposite sides of the aisle.
Thanks to Alison Jones of Carnarvon for that. Let's meet the teams. Please welcome first on my right, Andy Hamilton and Francis Ween. Opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and Sandy Toxvig. Andy, your question. Why is the Home Secretary in a very mellow mood?
Well, this is quite a confusing story. This is new proposals on cannabis. I'll summarise. Basically, under the proposals, smoking cannabis will be less illegal, but selling cannabis will be more illegal. I hope that's cleared it up. I only read the coverage of this story in the Daily Mail for 3 days, so I was under the impression that cannabis had been made compulsory. And that David Blunkett was going to come round with squads of policemen and force-feed dope to me. But that's it. Basically, the police are going to be given discretionary powers and they're going to be able to seize and warn, apparently. That's basically it.
He's downgraded it. That's
to a herb or a cooking, cooking supplement or something.
It's a bit of an insult, kind of. It's gone down from Class B to Class C, I think. It's when he was Education Secretary, he did the same thing with schools. They had these performance league tables. And he's just copying it there. They're going to have, you know, promotion and relegation at the end of each season. So skunk and crack cocaine go into the playoff together to see who gets into Class A.
Well, there's also a sense that nobody really had understood it, because one of the things that David Blunkett said, we won't arrest anybody unless there's a threat to public order. Well, nobody who's smoking cannabis can be asked to do anything. Threat to public order. And then Oliver Letwin said, the thing is, we've decriminalised it, but, I mean, our children have still got to buy this from criminals. And he was making it sound like it really ought to be a commercial opportunity. So we'd missed here.
To be fair to David Blunkett, I think... God, that didn't come out easily, that sentence. To be fair to David Blunkett, I think the idea is that the police are now free to concentrate on the really big criminals in boardrooms stealing our pensions.
The Home Secretary intends to produce a white paper on drugs and roll it up into a big, fat Camberwell carrot. Meanwhile, the ITV breakfast show, GMTV, was raided by the police after showing live on air a bag of cannabis. Of course, normally the dope sits on the sofa to read the autocue. Francis, whose ample figures sold for an ample figure this week?
Is it Rubens?
It is.
Sir Peter Paul Rubens did this painting called The Massacre of the Innocents when Herod went in for this policy of killing babies. And it was stashed away in some unidentified European country, sort of Belgium or Germany or somewhere, for years by someone who didn't know what it was and didn't much like it anyway and would lend it to the neighbours and keep it in the garage. And it was then discovered and sold by Sotheby's this week for £49.5 million, I believe.
It is a rotten massacre. There's actually no blood in it. It's really sort of pushing round of the innocents, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the innocents are not getting the sort of seeing to that innocents normally get. It is stainless. There are a couple of babies held upside down, that's about it.
Does look like
No serious rape.
No.
Not an erection in the whole thing. A little bit of frotterism, a little bit of rubbing up against the innocents. But actually...
It looks not unlike a Labour Party fringe meeting, actually.
Also, I think that the innocents are all American kids, because they're all horribly obese. They're these fat little rosy-cheeked cherubs that are kind of holding up a podgy hand.
It did say in the paper, which I enjoyed very much, the woman who owned it disliked it so much she gave it to a monastery. And I... Oh, those boys in the hair shirts, they're suffering anyway, Will.
Peter Paul Rubens is best known for his statuesque female figures, as well as all those Bob Dylan songs he used to sing with his sister Mary. Sandy, listen to this. Sandy, which black and white issue proved a fertile ground for disputes?
Oh, this is very complicated, and I don't know that we should be sitting here joshing about it. a couple, or several couples, had been to have IVF, because obviously they're very, very desperate for a baby. And there was a very nice black couple and a very nice white couple. And I think what happened was the black baby got put in the white lady and everybody got terribly upset. So now a court has to decide, basically in a Solomon kind of fashion, who gets the baby. I've got babies of my own. I wouldn't care if they came from Tesco's. I think... obviously it would be a surprise if it came out looking manifestly different from yourself. You know, suddenly gave birth to Michael Jackson, that would be a bit of a shock. What I didn't understand is they said it was a mistake waiting to happen. How? You see, you get a petri dish, right, and you label it. We did that at school.
Really?
We did.
I thought all those teenage pregnancies were from having sex.
Well, not at my school. And then they said we may not have labelled both the bottom and the top of the petri dish. Oh, dumb! And people are paying thousands for this. Honestly, little sticky labels from Ryman's, it's nothing. It's not difficult. I understand why it was so complicated.
Well, several Tory MPs said they weren't surprised to hear of yet another IVF cock-up. They said they shouldn't have had him as leader. Alan, listen to this.
It's a nice day to start again. Come on, it's a nice day for a white wedding. It's a nice day to start again.
Alan, why could one royal couple have a nice day to start again?
Because the Church of England is going to allow divorcees to remarry. And every newspaper, because such is the nature of the cliché-mongering and people who pursue my trade in France, was pave the way. This could pave the way for Camilla to marry Charles, as if they're going to lay down boards and bring her on in a wheelbarrow. But that's what it'll do. I mean, the Church of England, of whom he will one day be the notional head or whatever, or he won't, I mean, nothing's... We should all be dead by then, or atheists, quite sensible atheists, is going to allow divorcees to marry, and marry anywhere they like. Doesn't have to be in church, could be in supermarkets, and... Well, anywhere, really can.
No, not anywhere.
Back of a bus.
No bouncy castles, no. Apparently. They were rather specific.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be in a bouncy castle with Camilla Parker Bowles. I mean, I've had friends who could testify to that.
No bouncy castles, no beaches. Apparently. Those are the two Bs.
All they excluded?
Yeah, that was it. I don't know why.
Public lavatory's okay?
Perfectly fine, lovely.
In about 30 years' time, when most people who get married by vicars are getting married on the London Eye or in their local chip shop, somebody will say, I know, it's a really good gimmick for our wedding. How do we get married? There are these beautiful old buildings scattered around the country. And it'll start a trend.
They'll all have been turned into flats by then, darling.
Yeah. Be a chain called Jesus Burger.
Branches next door to David Blunkett's favourite shop, Superdrug.
In theory, Charles and Camilla can now get married anywhere they want, just as long as we don't have to watch it on TV. He's the most famous divorcee in the country. Everywhere he goes, people say, look at him, he's completely divorced from reality. Round two kicks off with an item from the ABC News.
Australian sheep shearer Damien Hogan has just broken the world sheep shearing record. 21 hours in, he ran out of sheep, having shorn more than 650 of them. Mr. Hogan is now resting. His wife Cheryl says he's quite sore and absolutely buggered.
Thanks to John True for sending that in. Andy, why is E equal MCO? Can't be bothered.
Can I ask a question? Why isn't this show live and interactive when everything else on the BBC is? Why can't people push a red button and only hear Charlotte Green? There's a gap in the market. But it's not really interactive at all, because I watched England-Brazil and I tried to interact with that game. I didn't affect the result in the slightest.
Well, that's a very good answer. 2 points.
It is. This is... E equals MC...
Oh, I couldn't be bothered.
It's about science. Nobody can be bothered with science.
And it's too boring.
That.
And they show pictures of children throwing beans and doing those bizarre things you do at the Natural History Museum, winding up dinosaurs and standing on foot plates.
I didn't think it was that boring in school. I think you get a frog and you pin it to the table and you stick it. I think it was... Mind you, it was a girls' boarding school. We didn't have a lot of fun, but... If you couldn't get a frog, a third former, you know.
Farting over a Bunsen burner was a major achievement.
Oh, you can't.
See if the windows blew out.
You can't go wrong with that kind of thing.
No.
But apparently they say that people who do science are dull. But wasn't Thatcher was a scientist, wasn't she? Oh, wait a minute, what am I saying?
Exactly right, yes. A cross-party group of MPs has decided that science lessons are so boring they're putting pupils off science for life. Teachers put the blame on kids because as soon as they get into the science lab, all they want to do is clone around. Francis, who has a slow train coming?
It's to do with the Fish Guard to Paddington service. They've discovered that it now takes half an hour more to get from Fishguard to Paddington than it did 100 years ago. And it costs about 50 times more, 100 times more, I think, because in 1909 or thereabouts, the fare in modern money, I mean, not in old money, obviously in old money it was in groats and stuff, but the fare updated for inflation, even allowing for that, was £2.50. And for that, you know, you've got kippers and all the trimmings for breakfast. You had video games in the club car, all that sort of thing.
Talking of trains, there is a ridiculous poster on the Underground at the moment. I don't know, you've probably seen it. It says, "Why aren't you more careful when you've had a few drinks?" Have you seen that? Surely that's called answering your own question.
First Great Western have announced a new timetable. Now the journey from London to Fishguard takes 32 minutes longer than it did in 1909. Of course, a seat on a steam train meant a face full of smoke and a noisy, uncomfortable journey. Whereas these days, you'd never get a seat. I like this one. First Great Western claim they're trying to modernise their service to keep customers happy. They point to a new initiative whereby Jenny Agutter will be employed to run alongside trains, waving her knickers. Sandy, listen to this.
Out come the dolly and the washtub and all the pegs on the old clothesline. There's a pile of linen on the scullery floor. I hope I'm away in time. The walls are ringing as the soap suds boil. The hand on the clock round.
And stop, Bob Dylan. Is it a story about people not getting dentures on the NHS?
No, it was a singing postman.
Oh, that's all he'd be bloody doing. Yes, this is this very odd thing. It does keep kind of raising its head. I'm slightly annoyed with my postman, so I don't mind talking about this. I've got rather a low, obviously, because I'm short, I've got a low mail slot in my door so that I can reach it. And, well, and every day he puts the post half in, and this then acts as a conduit for the weather. And for the last 3 weeks, I've only ever read half my correspondence. The rest of it is entirely illegible, as it has melted in the rain. We're now going to pay £14 a week, I understand, if we want our post before 9 o'clock in the morning. And they're going to scrap the second post. Anybody here remember the last time they received a It was extraordinary. That was saying, you know, and you'll no longer be getting free milk. But that's not happening either. So obviously I'm gutted about the second post, as it's a second opportunity for the weather to enter my home. So I'm quite happy for it not to come at all.
It's very easy to avoid this thing, because it's individual citizens and small businesses who will be affected, because it says anyone who gets fewer than 20 letters a day, I think, is going to have to pay this fee. But actually, it's quite easy to get 20 letters a day if it's going to save you 14. Could you just ring up 100 estate agents from Central... ask them for the list, and then you ring Reader's Digest and say, look, it's a bit of a shot in the dark, but do you ever have sort of special offers and prize draws? And then you get a daily letter from that wonderfully named Tom Champagne saying, as it happens, Mr. Ween, you have won £100,000. Little asterisk saying, actually, you haven't, but you'll be getting another one tomorrow saying you have. And so we can all avoid it quite easily. You just increase the junk mail. And then Blair is going to charge you £1 a dustbin bag to get rid of the junk mail.
But is it true that Royal Mail are changing their name again? Because they changed it to Consignia. I heard they're changing it to Cosa Nostra. And the postman will knock on your door and say, I'm sorry, but, you know, I had your letters, but, like, today is not their day.
A post office spokeswoman said she looked forward to receiving a world-class mail service by this time next year. she's moving to Holland. Rumours that trials of the scheme in rural areas had gone badly wrong were confirmed last week when Royal Mail staff member Pat of Greendale was found tied naked to a tree being pistol-whipped by Reverend Tim's Granny Dryden and Mrs. Goggins. Alan, who found themselves caught between a rock and a hard place this week.
Oh, this is very unfortunate. This is Commander Farrington, who didn't see Australia coming and hit him. And bent his ship, HMS Nottingham, and then went down on his knees and cried mea culpa on the afterdeck and upset the Admiralty even more. And terribly upset because the rest of the Royal Navy is having its sail mended. And our boat has got a hole in it. And I noticed the interesting thing, that the refit will cost £35 million, which is exactly the price of Rio Ferdinand. And if you're looking at, the national defence system, it seems a very strange breakdown of two figures. But Leeds United could sell Ferdinand and rebuild the Nottingham, and we'd have a navy back.
And buy a Rubens for no extra charge.
Why is it called HMS Nottingham? Is that because of Nottingham's associations with the sea?
I once did a charity gig for the RNLI in Nottingham. Don't say I don't lead
money
a glamorous
life. Went a long way.
I just thought his honesty was so refreshing because we're so used to people covering up when they make a gaffe. But he was terribly philosophical, wasn't he? He said, oh, well, it's inevitable. You know, you get up in the morning, you run the ship aground, you get court-martialed. It's character-building stuff. That's what he said, wasn't it? Character-building stuff. And I just thought any sort of weasel worth his salt would have said, we were the victim of an attack by a suicide rock. Launched itself into the hull.
Yeah. It is bizarre, though. I sailed round Britain with John McCarthy in a very old boat. It was only a 50-foot boat, and it was worth nothing at all. And we had a little machine that went beep if there was something in the way. It went beep, and you went, ooh, left. I don't know if I should write to them and say.
And I think in the olden days, they had a man who used to stand at the front of the ship and used to say, oh, there's a bit of a rock over this side. I think we should go the other way.
No, the man who used to walk in front of it with a red flag as well.
No, the man at the front of the boat, that was Titanic, darling. You're getting confused with that film thing again. That's...
The Royal Navy Board of Inquiry is to fly out to the neighbouring Lord Howe Island to investigate. They're expected to crash there sometime next week. A Royal Navy spokesman said the accident served as a reminder that the sea is a dangerous place and pretty unforgiving despite all the training and electronic wizardry. He then went on to criticise the sea for leaving big pointy rocks lying around. Before we start the final round, here's a suggestion read on a packet of sun-made raisins.
Why not try tossing over your favourite breakfast cereal?
Thanks to Dominique Thistleton for that.
This show is turning into a phone line.
I only got the job from a sticker in a phone booth.
Andy, listen to this.
Sitting one day by myself and I'm thinking what could be wrong. When this funny little hedgehog comes running up to me and it starts up to sing me this song. Oh, you know all the words and you sung all the notes, but you never quite learned the song.
God, you've had a...
We're laughing because we're wondering how long it took them to find a song about hedgehogs.
You don't need a question, do you?
It's about hedgehogs. Actually, hedgehogs, they shouldn't be called hedgehogs. They should be called egg killers. Because it's been discovered that on some of the Scottish islands where there's an absence of cover, the hedgehogs are wiping out populations of boids by eating their eggs. So the cuddly little figure that we're used to from Beatrix Potter stories and stuff is nothing of the sort. It's a killer. Now, I saw the perfect opportunity because this week as well saw a big medium-sized demonstration in London about the proposed ban on hunting foxes. And it seems to me the hedgehog is pretty slow. sure all those toffs who say it's the chase that's the thrill. I mean, as a social event, the hunt would be a lot shorter. But it seems to me that they can't go far wrong, really. Hedgehog hunting up in Scotland, and they'd be saving seabirds.
Yes, the islands of North West, Benbecula and South West are home to rare breeding colonies of wading birds, which are endangered because Scottish hedgehogs like to eat their eggs, deep fried in batter. Scottish Natural Heritage was planning to cull the 5,000 hedgehogs, but have decided instead to control population growth by introducing their natural enemy, the Vauxhall Astra. Francis, who's discovered something fishy about the Roman diet?
This will be about the Romans.
This will be about the Roman diet. Well, I don't know, actually. I mean, I actually have a Roman cookery book at home by Apicius.
What?
Which is called Swanfield.
Roman cookery book.
It's the first Roman cookery
book.
What,
written
in
Latin?
Yeah, it is written in Latin, actually, since you ask. It's full of recipes for grilled dormouse and stuffed flamingo and wonderful things like that. And the basis of all these Roman dishes is a fishy sauce called liquamen. Would that be the answer? It's a rather old news story in that case.
No. It's about Carlyle, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, but he's got... No, he's working towards it, I think.
Is he?
I think he knows.
No, he's not.
He said it's an old story, and I maintain it's a news story.
It's about jars of this stuff with labels on it.
It's about Carlyle and the...
They found some liquamen.
They found a whole lot of tunny paste.
Well, we can all go out to Francis's for a nosh up then, because he's got the recipes and everything.
They were digging it to Carlisle and they found a whole lot of imported fish paste, as eaten by Julius Caesar. And,
said, in Latin, it said, this is jolly good fish paste, and you fill it in with three more words, and you get a trip for two to the Baltic Riviera.
How would you cook a flamingo? You need a very big oven for a start. What do you do?
It butters the stuff. They don't half hop about.
Could you not fold them in half and put them in a fish kettle?
You've got to get their head under his arm so it doesn't see what's happening.
That's true.
Have you attempted any of these recipes, Francis?
Well, you can't get flamingo where I live, anyway.
Do you live out of the way somewhere?
Well, they would bring it over from North Africa. I did once think about trying the dormice recipe, but I couldn't get hold of them either. Not, at least not in large enough quantities to make it worth the effort.
Did they cook hedgehog?
No. They hadn't discovered the joys of hedgehog. Poor little things.
You can eat baked hedgehog, can't you? I think
yeah,
so.
You can.
Yeah.
And you
it's
don't...
quite nice if they've already got the egg inside. It's quite...
like a Scotch egg. It's a very prickly Scotch egg.
I think we're onto something here.
Yeah. I tell you what you're onto. You're onto Alice in Wonderland, because if you hit a hedgehog with a flamingo, you've got a bestseller on your hands.
That's absolutely right.
To strike the meanest and the least of creatures is a sin. How much more bad to hit a beast with prickles on its skin. You remember that, I expect.
Oh, you're frightening us now.
It's a wide-ranging show, isn't it?
He's not just a failed Latin chef, is he?
Archaeologists digging at Carlisle Castle have unearthed an amphora of Roman tunny fish relish from Tangiers, old, bearing its original label. Archaeologists were astonished the label had survived in perfect condition, but it still didn't go through the barcode scanner at the local Tesco. So I'll give 1 point to Francis for knowing the answer and 1 point to Sandy for telling us what it was. Alan, who decided if you want to get ahead, get a reptile?
25 years of the news, Chris, and every week some fool walks through customs. Something bulging. This is a woman. It's a young woman. Woman of 17. Came through customs with a chameleon on her head. The thing is, a chameleon obviously approximated itself to her. And it just looked like a blonde wig or something. But then she passed, as you always do in an airport, a branch of Tyrak. And her head went tartan. And a very, very... very smart customs man said, that's a chameleon. And I think she got away with it. I don't know what they did. They impounded it, presumably. I suppose it's illegal to bring a chameleon into this country. I don't know why. Make a wonderful politician.
The important thing about this story is what we're not being told. Because obviously this chameleon that tried to disguise itself as a hat was inexperienced. An unskilled chameleon that got caught. But how many just don't know how many more skillful reptiles are coming into this country illegally disguised as headgear. We've no idea. I've not seen any figures.
That may not be the limit of it. You know, they may have come in as hats and now they're posing as postmen. Navy commanders, you don't know, do you? It would explain a lot.
Professional stand-up chameleons are terrible things. There's nice alternative chameleons we used to have.
Customs officials became suspicious when the passenger walked through the green channel, the red channel, then the blue, yellow, indigo. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
Right, this is from the beautifully named David Christmas, and it's from the in-flight magazine of Bangkok Airways, and is in a Facts for the Visitor article about Cambodia, and it says, telephones. There are no coin-operated phones in Cambodia, brackets. There are no coins in Cambodia.
Francis.
This is from my local paper, the East Anglian Daily Times. It's a classified ad. One square paving slab, 2 foot by 3 foot, £2 or nearest offer. Must sell, need space urgently.
Sandy.
This has been sent in by Anne Taylor from the Melton Times, Melton Mowbray. Two British Legion men walked out of a Remembrance Day church service in protest at the vicar's sermon. Gadsby man Harry Johnston, 82, was there and he said, we wanted it to be about remembering the fallen. He wanted it to be an ordinary Sunday service. One of our members stood up and said he was not listening to any more of this rubbish, and another one followed. He was speaking for us all. I would have walked out myself, but I was relying on a lift to get home.
Alan.
This is from the Leicester Mercury, Simon. When Inspector John Harding and Sergeant Ivan Towers arrived, they found the man hanging by his fingertips, more than 150 feet above the ground. They offered him cigarettes and coffee. But he kept refusing.
Thank you all. Now let's look at the final score. Andy and Francis are 15, but thanks to my HMS Nottingham-style scoring system, Alan and Sandy are this week's winners with 17 points. And before we leave you, here's an advertisement spotted in Protocol Training magazine.
Wanted, flexible nurse for unusual position.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corran, Andy Hamilton, Sandy Togsvig and Francis Wheen. The chairman was Simon Hoggett and the news was read by me, Charlotte Green. The chairman's script was written by Tony Roach, George Poles, Paul McKenzie and Simon Littlefield. And the producer was Lucy Armitage.